Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. We are going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Short and sweet. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You may be seated. There is a lot to be thankful for. As believers in Christ, as members of this congregation, we have a lot to be thankful for. Before we get too deeply into the message, I wanted to make an announcement that did not make it into the bulletin. This Saturday, December 2nd, there will be a men's breakfast in the fellowship hall at 9 a.m. And I was just in the back thinking about this as we were singing, and I thought how thankful we should be that we have men that are able to step up, men like Mike Lichty and men like Jim Kowalski. Mike gets up and cooks the breakfast, and Jim delivers the devotional for it, and it is such a blessing. So that'll be on Saturday, December 2nd at 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall, and hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. The other thing I have to be thankful for this morning is, since I'm kind of on a roll here with the thankful thing, and I did not have an opportunity to thank her in private, so I will thank her publicly. Barb Van Alstyn and her group decorated the entire church this past Saturday, and we are thankful for that. It is such a blessing to come into the church and to see it all dressed up for the holidays. So thank you, Barb, for that. We appreciate that very much. Okay. Now into the sermon, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians was an early letter from Paul. It was to the church in Thessalonica in order to reconnect with them. Now, why would Paul have to reconnect with the church? The reason being is that when Paul and Silas came in and founded the church and had been with it for a time, they had been forced to flee. So imagine starting a church, building it, loving the people in the church, and then being ripped away from it. This was painful to Paul and to Silas. And so in order to check in on the church and see how they were doing, they sent Timothy. And Timothy came back with a beautiful report. He reported back that the church was in fact flourishing since they had been forced to leave it. And this epistle, 1 Thessalonians, was written to the church in response to that favorable report. And in studying for this and looking at the structure of the letter, it is really beautiful. There are two movements within the epistle. It starts with a prayer for thanksgiving, which I thought was very appropriate given this time of year. And then Paul offers a celebration for the church's faithfulness, and that is the first movement. And then in the middle of the letter, there is a prayer, a transitional prayer, if you will, between the two movements for endurance in the church. And then the second movement is a challenge for that church to grow. And then Paul ends the letter with a final prayer of hope. It is elegant in its structure, and it demonstrates Paul's love for that church. The church in Thessalonica was surrounded by a pagan culture and a pagan society. It was everywhere. And for a church to follow Jesus, that was a commitment to holiness amongst depravity, with the certainty or the hope that Christ would one day return. Let me tell you, Christ will one day return. Amen. The hope in Jesus is what motivated them and should motivate us towards obedience and faithfulness to Christ. Following Jesus is truly counter to the surrounding culture. It was in Paul's day, and it certainly is in our day. But that is what we have been called to do. Living for Jesus produces hostility in the world around us. It always has. Followers of Jesus need to respond to that hostility with love. That is motivated by hope in the coming of Christ and His kingdom. Our passage today comes from the last chapter, just before that final prayer of hope. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. So this morning we're going to look at these passages and we're going to reflect upon thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God that is in charge of everything. You know us, You love us, You are the faraway God, and You are the personal God all at once because You are God. And we give thanks for that, for who You are, for what You have done this morning. We pray for anyone in the sanctuary, Father, who may not know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. And we just thank You that we have a place, Your house, that we can gather as a body of believers and lift You up, exalt Your name, because You are the one that is worthy of exaltation, Father. You are the one that is worthy of our thanks. And we thank You, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Rejoice always. Rejoice is a call to delight in God's grace. To not only experience God's grace, but to be aware of God's grace. And to be thankful for it. Grace, when we examine it, is an incredible thing. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. We are all sinners, everyone in this sanctuary this morning. We all fall short of the glory of God. We deserve hell, but if we believe, that is not what we get. Do we recognize that? Are we thankful for that? Are we faithful in thanking God for that? We deserve hell, but instead we get an eternity with Him. We need to rejoice. We need to be thankful for that. Rejoice always. We are to pray without ceasing. That means all the time. If we don't stop, it's all the time. That is prayer without ceasing. When we pray, we are talking to God. We are interacting with Him. He is a part of our lives. And He is an important part of our lives. So He needs to be there with us all the time. He is, but we rarely acknowledge it. I say we, I mean me. God is with us always. We need to acknowledge that. We need to interact with Him on a daily basis. He needs to be an important part of our lives. In everything, we are to pray without ceasing. In everything, we are to give thanks, always, always. We acknowledge that God's grace works perfectly for our eternal gain. And it is His eternal glory we are literally to be thankful for. Thankful for God's eternal glory, thankful for God's grace to us. If that were all that God did, that would be enough. That would be more than enough. But God does not stop there. He has given us everything. Every blessing that we have, every struggle that we face is for our greater good. When we give thanks to God in the truest sense of the word, we are offering God praise. and acknowledging to Him that all good things come from Him. He is the source of everything in our lives. Scripture emphasizes the importance of giving thanks to God for His provision. It is a way of expressing not only our dependence upon Him, but also our gratitude for what God has done for us. That is what giving thanks is. Thanksgiving and praise are oftentimes, and rightfully so, linked to one another. Let's flip over to Psalm 100 really quick. And in Psalm 100, this is giving thanks to God. Psalm 100, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5 briefly. And this is a pretty well-known verse of Scripture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. There are so many wonderful blessings that we can be thankful for as believers in Christ. When we praise God, we are recalling what He has done for us with joy. We are exalting Him. God is worthy of our praise, and we need to praise God for everything. From our next breath to eternal salvation with Him. We can praise God for anything and everything, and we should. We as His creation, and especially if we are believers, we are obligated. We are obligated, it is our duty to acknowledge and to thank God for all He is doing and all that He has done. And this is not because God has an overly developed sense of ego, but because He and He alone is worthy of it. Amen. Flipping back to Romans, I say back, this is the first time we've been here this morning. Well, not for me, but maybe for you. Flipping to Romans 1, 20 through 21, the Bible telling us that if we are believers, we are to be thankful. Romans 1, 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be foolish in my thoughts. I don't want my heart to be darkened. We are to give thanks to God, lest we fall into that category. We know what it is to give thanks to God. And we know why it is important to express it to God. In the Old Testament, one of the ways of showing thanksgiving to God was through an offering of thanksgiving made to the Lord. Turn with me to Leviticus 7. We're going to spend a little bit of time here taking a look at a thanksgiving offering. Leviticus 7, 12 through 15. Here we go. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering, and from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving made in the form of flour and of oil to the Lord. Now, a sacrifice, we understand, is a surrender of something that is precious. A possession that is offered up to God of something that is valued. It is given to God in honor, it is given to God in worship, and it is given to God in thanksgiving. A sacrifice of flour and oil to us is not much. But in ancient times, when you spent a majority of your time scrambling for your next meal, for your daily food, flour and oil was precious. It was something that had value, and it was given to the Lord out of appreciation, out of thanksgiving, to worship and to honor Him. The thanksgiving offering in the Bible was not a command. It was not a requirement, but it came out of a natural response to what God had done. It comes from love, and for us, it comes out of the fact that we belong to Him. Appreciation to God comes from who we are in Christ. It is our natural response to God. We do not and should not be ordered or have to be ordered to do it. As believers, we do not offer a sacrifice of oil and flour to the Lord anymore. And the reason why is because it would not have the same impact, because those elements are not precious to us. They are not hard for us to come by. A single trip to Walmart could take care of it. We do not literally have to press olives to get oil, nor do we have to grind barley or grain for flour like they did. It was a task and then some. I was talking to somebody, I won't embarrass her, but she said she had to make the entire Thanksgiving meal by herself, and that was a process. This is a process. They had to grind that meal. They had to press those olives in order to get the oil, and then they would offer it to the Lord in thanksgiving. So as modern day believers, what do we offer up to God in thanksgiving to Him? We offer up to God our tithe. We offer up our service and our time. This church didn't decorate itself. It'd be nice if it did, but it didn't. There was effort and time put into it. The men's breakfast doesn't cook itself. The church isn't cleaned by itself. There are people working very hard. The grass doesn't mow itself. That is service that is offered up to God in thanksgiving. You know, I'll oftentimes in the office get calls from janitorial services that are like, we would love to come and give you a quote to give you an estimate. And I always tell them, we already have a wonderful group of volunteers that are offering up their time, and that is priceless to God. That is how we offer thanksgiving to God, with our tithe, our service, our time, how we interact with and treat others, and how we express our love and our thanksgiving to God. Amen. What are other ways that we can express our thanksgiving to God? Look around you. What are we doing this morning? We are gathering together as believers of Christ. We are praying together. We are fellowshipping together. We are singing together. We are worshiping together. We as a gathering of believers, whether it be for prayer, for for fellowship, for singing, for worship, really for any reason that we gather together, we can gather together and it be done for many reasons, but it can also be done out of thanksgiving for God. Oftentimes in the prayer meeting, people will bring up, "Thank you, God, that we can gather as believers and pray to and worship you." Recently, my brother Brian, who God used to lead me to Christ, turned 50. I actually was in Illinois yesterday because his wife threw him a surprise party. And I got to meet not only him, I got to reconnect with some of his kids, and I got to meet his grandchildren. And what a blessing that was. He has two, one is Wyatt and the other one is Nevin. And it was just a time of fellowship. It was a time of thanksgiving to God for all of the people that Brian has been able to touch in his life and in his ministry as a believer in Christ. That was done to edify. That was done to uplift. But it was also done with a thought of offering thanksgiving to God. For me, for a friendship that has lasted 30 years, salvation, all of that, it's all kind of encompassed in that one gathering. So we were meeting to celebrate his birthday, but it was also thanksgiving to God. Amen. There are so many reasons we can gather together, but it can be and should be done out of thanksgiving to God. We can also express thanksgiving to God through song, which we did this morning. It was such a blessing to hear everybody singing this morning. Well, not everybody, but it was a blessing to hear people singing. Singing and music in general is not my strong suit, and we all know that, but I do sing, much to the chagrin of the people around me who wish I would stop, but you'll recognize them as you go out. Their ears are bleeding. I do sing, but not for them. I am singing to the Lord. Out of thanksgiving. Out of thanksgiving and out of worship. Flip over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is a call to worship and obedience in song. I appreciate anybody with musical talent because I have very little. But listen to this really quick. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Amen and hallelujah. Absolutely. So for those of you who have to be around me while I'm singing, it's commanded in the Bible, and I'm sorry. Singing is a way to express our thanks to God. How about through prayer? Absolutely. We've covered that a little bit. But flip over to Daniel 6. We're not going to jump around too much more, but we remember Daniel in the lion's den and how he came to be in the lion's den. King Darius had signed a decree, a royal statute, that anyone who made a petition to a god or a man except the king would be cast into the lion's den. And King Darius signed it. And then in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, we read this. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," he knew that it had been signed, "he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom, since early days. This is a man who is worshiping a God who is alive and who is real to him, and he is giving thanks to God. We as Christians have an amazing blessing of being able to talk directly to God. And we can thank Him. And my prayer this morning is that we never, ever take that for granted. We can go directly to God and we can say thank you. We can talk to our Lord and Savior without an intermediary. That means it can just be us and it can be just Him, with no special ritual, no special place, at any time and in any circumstance. We can boldly go to God and we can express our thanks directly to Him. He is always there. He will always listen. He will always hear. God, thank you for who you are, that I can come to you. You do not turn away, but you hear and respond to me because you are loving and merciful and alive and available no matter what. So much we have as believers that we can be thankful to God for. Giving thanks to a God who has richly blessed us. God has given us everything. Another place we can give thanks to God is in our daily conversations. If we flip ahead to Ephesians 5:4, I almost pulled a message from here this week, but I thought following Pastor Curry last week, that would not be a wise move. But I was willing to go there if God wanted me to, but instead He gave me this verse to put in the middle of this sermon. Ephesians 5:4. My fingers will let me get there in the Bible. This is how our conversations can be and should be. 5:4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That is what we are to do. We are to give thanks. We should not be given to foolish talking or coarse jesting. That is not fitting for a believer. That is not fitting for a follower of God, but rather giving of thanks. Paul in Ephesians is telling us how we are to be as believers. In the first few chapters, he lays out how it came to be, the mystery revealed, and the purpose God had behind it. And then in chapter 4, to the very end of the letter, he gives very practical doctrine, as Pastor Curry pointed out, regarding how we are to be. Our calling as believers should be apparent in our lives. And as he points out here in chapter 5, in our speech, how we converse, how we interact with one another, how we interact with the lost, how we interact with the world. We must express our thanks to Him. And when we do it, we need to make sure that we are not just going through the motions of paying lip service to God. My parents, when we pray for Thanksgiving or really any meal at their house, we have a prayer that we all know. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And as a prayer, that is a beautiful prayer. But I have to remind myself not to just recite it as rote, but to truly be present and think about what I am saying as I pray that prayer. Because it is very easy for me to just fall into the resuscitation of something that I've known since I was a child. But the blessing of what I am saying and in offering thanksgiving to God through that prayer, not just paying lip service to God or falling into a habit of repetitive speech. And that is what we must do in our everyday conversation. When somebody says, oh, this happened to me or that happened to me, and we say, praise God, we need to be recognizing not only who God is, but what God has done in that situation, and not just throw out praise God like it is just something to say. We must express our thanks to Him and be present in the moment as we do. Lastly, we need to give thanks to God in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Flipping over to Philippians 4, 6. Last jump, it's just a little ways. One of my favorite verses out of about 10,000. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Amen. Paul here in Philippians is giving us a beautiful truth. It is a nothing and an everything. Nothing and everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. With thanksgiving. Whatever we are doing, if we are worshiping God, if we are singing to God, if we are conversing with someone, anyone, lost or saved, be doing it with thanksgiving. If we are gathering together, let's gather together to worship, to fellowship, to eat a meal with thanksgiving. That is so beautiful. Whatever we are doing in all circumstances, all that we have been given and all that God has done for us, be thankful. One of the things we need to make sure that we are most thankful for as believers in Christ is for our salvation. Salvation which came through the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. His victory on the cross was our victory from the cross. Amen. I would question any believer who was not thankful for that. Give thanks to God for God's grace, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our union with Him. If we are saved, then Christ is everything to us. He is the priority in our life. It is not what we have. It is not who we are, aside, of course, from being a believer. And it certainly is not what the secular world would assign as important. Abby and I had the chance to go to Chicago. We just got back last night. But while we were there, we were pulling up to the hotel. We had to stop at a stoplight. And this green car came flying past us and zipped into the lane in front of us. And I was floored because you don't normally see a Lamborghini up close in Michigan. And so he zipped off and went his way. And I was like, Abby, that was a Lamborghini. And then as we were turning, a Ferrari was turning this way. Now, we weren't in, like, you know, the north side of Chicago. We were in Oak Brook, Illinois, of all places. And I was just like, ooh, a Ferrari. And Abby's like, Dad, they're just cars. And I was put in my place, and I'm like, you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter. You know, I drive a Malibu. It doesn't matter. But we are not to assign importance to things in our lives above the importance of God in our lives. If there is anything in our lives that is more important to us than Christ, then we are guilty of idolatry. We are putting our love of something ahead of our love for Christ, and we cannot and should not do that. If Christ is truly first in our lives, we acknowledge His place as the first in our lives. So the question we have to ask ourselves as believers is Christ the most important one in our lives? Is there anything or anyone competing for that top place in our hearts? That is the reality that we live in as believers. Rebecca and I have been married now for over 20 years. And I try to tell her every day that I love her, and I try to tell her every day how thankful I am for her. But it doesn't stop there, and it shouldn't stop there. Our marriage is an equal partnership ordained and brought into being by God. So while I will tell her I love her, and I will tell her how thankful I am for her, I try to show her at least once a day, if not more. And since before we were married 20 years ago, which seems hard to believe, I've written letters to her on her birthday and on holidays. I owe her one for Thanksgiving. I haven't gotten around to writing it yet. But that is one of the ways that I show my wife that I love her. I do not write letters to other women, or really anyone, because Rebecca, as my wife, is first in my life after Christ. There is not another person above her in that way. I'm going to stop embarrassing her, but do we do that for God? Do we not only say, God, I love you, not only say, God, thank you, but do we show our love and thanksgiving to Him over everything else in our lives? If God is first in our lives and we acknowledge that, then we can fulfill the verses that we read this morning. If God is first in our lives, we can rejoice always. We can pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Thanksgiving. For us as believers, it should not just be one day, Father, but every day. You have given us so much, and you have asked so little. It should be our natural response because of all that you have done and all that you are and all that you bless us with to give you thanks continually. Help us today and for the rest of the week as we gather, as we go about our lives, to recognize your place in our lives and to give you thanks in it, in whatever we may find ourselves doing, whether it be working or driving or eating or fellowshipping. Let us do those things with thanksgiving to you. We give you all the honor and glory, Father, because you are the only one that deserves it. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for an ability to gather with our fellow believers and saints. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.